scripture text for the message is taken from Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, and the same chapter, chapter 8, verse 1. And I shall read for you. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me."
You know, I was touched when we sang this song, because I remember the time we sang this song in FEBC. Some passed through the waters, others through the fire. And I remembered this time as we were singing this hymn, I remembered the difficulty times that my dear pastor, my dear teacher went through, Reverend Tor. And now he has gone to rest. Now it is upon us to follow what he has been teaching us, because now he's gone. And one thing I know, the Lord is watching us. Are we going to remain faithful till the Lord comes? I just want to thank you, especially my brother, Reverend Dr. Geoffrey Koo, for giving me this invitation to come and speak to you. I just want to read this verse that we have just read, then I go to my text, I go to my speech. My topic this morning is going to be God's demand. And I just want to ask you to bear with my English, because as I said, those who are in FEBC, I'm not a Singaporean, I'm an African, and the way the Africans speak is not the way the Singaporeans speak. Is not the way the Americans speak. We have a different African accent. And I hope I will be slow so that you might at least understand something. You know, I was encouraged by some of you, especially those who came to me, and they told me that they understood something and that they were able to follow what I said in the last time I spoke during the FEBC end term thanks service. God's demand versus Satan's objection. There are some of the things that God wants us to know today. God gives us instructions in His Word, and He wants us to obey the instructions that He gives to us. When I read the Bible, I see all the time Satan opposing what God wants us to do. For example, if I read the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, I see God telling the man, or telling Adam and Eve, that thou shalt not eat of that tree, because the time you eat of it, God said, ye shall surely die. And that means, in dying, ye shall die. And here comes Satan with his opposition. And Satan comes and he speaks to the woman. And Satan says, is it really true that God said that you shall not eat of this fruit? And finally Satan said, ye shall not surely die. And I want you to listen to these two things. God said, ye shall surely die. And Satan, on the other hand, said, ye shall not die. Which of them spoke the truth? God or Satan? If you read chapter 5 of the same book, we have what we call the book, the chapter of death. You find this, and I'm not supposed to say that, but let me just say it. In that book of Genesis chapter 5, you find, and especially if you start from verse 4, 5, and all the days of Adam, you know, were this. And finally the Bible says, and he died. If you read verse 8, you find, and Enoch died. If you read verse 11, you find Enos, you know, the Bible says, and he died. If you continue reading that one, you find so many people dying here. And Satan said, ye shall not surely die. And God said, ye shall surely die. So these words prove that Satan is a liar. Satan does not speak the truth all the time. And Satan all the time opposes the word of God. Why does he do that today? If you go to the book of Revelation 12:12, that is one thing that Satan knows. The Bible says that Satan knows that he has a limited time. And so he has no overtime. He's working day and night to try to mislead and to cheat the people of God. We have to be vigilant. What does Peter tell us? Peter tells us something. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter tells us this. Be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, roams here and there, goes here and there, wanders here and there, trying to seek for somebody whom he might devour. And his warning is for us to be vigilant, for you to be vigilant, and for me to be vigilant. Because we have our adversary, the devil. In the book of Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, we see here the demand of God to the Israelites. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, and I want you to understand this quite clear. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 5, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. They went in and told Pharaoh the demand of God. What God had told them. God told them, this is my word, and this is what I want. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. That is what God wanted. Let my people go. Why? He gives us the reason. He gives us the purpose. That they may hold a feast unto me. Where? In the wilderness. That was the demand of God. That was what God demanded. If you read chapter 8 verse 1, you see the same. God repeating his demand. What I want to tell you this morning is this. God's demands for us are all here. God's instructions for us are all here. And we have to be obedient to this word. We have to be obedient to what God tells us. I am holding his word. And I want to thank him that today we have his word that I have today. And that you have today. The word that we should not tamper with, the word that we should not play with, the word that we should honor, God's word. All God wants us to do is found in this book that I'm holding today. This verse before us here sets forth in plain and forcible language the blessed purpose of God to his people. That is, to have his people completely delivered from Egypt. You know, God made it very clear that I don't want my people to remain there, but I want my people to leave, and I want my people to go. Because I want them to hold a feast for me, not in Egypt, but in the wilderness. It was very clear. God's demand was very clear. And the same verse also gives us a reason for this. That they might feast with me or with God in the wilderness. You know, nothing could satisfy God's heart in reference to them but their entire emancipation from the land of death and darkness. He would free them not only one from Egypt's brick kilns. In other words, God would deliver them not only from Egypt, but also from Egypt's brick kilns and taskmasters. God wanted them to leave Egypt completely. Also, God wanted them to leave Egyptians' temples. God wanted them to leave the altars. God wanted them to go with everything. And I want to tell you that was not so. God, Satan was observing. And I want to tell you now, here comes Satan. And I want to tell you what Satan did here. If you go to, before I go to, you know, the objection, I want to give us a warning here from the Apostle Paul. When we read the book of 2 Corinthians 2:11, we have a word there from the Apostle Paul. He says that we are not ignorant. And I believe that is you who are here, who is here. I believe everyone who is here is not ignorant of devil's devices. What methods, what ways does Satan use to come to me and to come to you? Paul tells us that we are not ignorant, and we are not supposed to be ignorant of his devices, because all the time he objects to God's words. Now here comes Satan. And this is what he tells Moses. And what he tells everybody. That they should not go. He says this. If you go to the book of the same book, you are going to see what he did. Satan entered Pharaoh. And Pharaoh told Moses, Moses, yes, I have heard what you want me to do. I am not going to allow you to go far. In other words, I want you to just go and offer your sacrifices in here. He used this word, in the land. Let me just tell you something. Whatever God says, we should not reason about it. We should not discuss. God tells us what he finishes. And it is completely finished. It is not for us to discuss. When God tells us to do something, it is useless for us to continue thinking about it, to continue discussing about it, because it does not help us at all. So here we have Pharaoh telling Moses, Moses, you just go and sacrifice in the land. That is not what God wanted. I think it is clear in your mind now from what I have just said that God wanted his people totally, completely separated from the Egyptians. And God wanted them to leave Egypt. But here comes Pharaoh with his word. No, Moses, You just go. I allow you to go and you sacrifice and you offer your sacrifices in the land. What did Moses say? Moses said something here. There is something fine and good in what Moses said. Moses said, especially if we read in verse 26 of the same chapter, verse 8, verse 26, you are going to see what Moses said here. He said, these are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. Moses said, it is not meet so to do. That was the answer that Moses said. It is not meet so to do. This is not what God wants us to do. Egypt was not a place of worship. Also, they could not present God or to God in sacrifice. The objects of Egyptians' worship, they could not also erect an altar to true God in Egypt. Why? Because God wanted them to leave. Totally. God wanted them to leave. Now, let me just talk about objection two. Objection one was just offer in the land. You sacrifice in the land. Now, objection two. Satan's second objection is just like the first one. And this is what I want to say. If he cannot succeed in keeping us in Israel, in Egypt, he will at least keep them as near to it as possible. What did he say? In verse 28, you see what he did, what he said there. Verse 28 of chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 28. You see what he said. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. And see the next. Only ye shall not go very far. You know, I remember the time we are saved, and I want to say this. You know, when we are saved, we talk about regeneration. We do not believe in what we call baptismal regeneration. We believe that regeneration is an action that takes place from within. And then the results are seen from without. That is true regeneration. And for us to be here, we have to have been regenerated by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is an action that takes place from within that brings a total change of somebody. And then the rewards are seen outwardly. There are those who claim to be saved, and yet their actions shows that they are still in Egypt. They have not left Egypt. They are near Egypt. You know, sometimes I wonder, and I believe maybe you too, how can I claim to be a Christian and yet I smoke? How can I claim to be a Christian and yet I lie, I cheat? How can I claim to be a Christian and yet there is something within me that has, you know, it is kind of, I cannot do without this. In other words, I cannot live without smoking. I believe no smoker here. I cannot do without, you know, taking drugs. I cannot do without dancing a little bit. How can I claim to be a Christian? And one time I took my car in for service. And there was this pastor. a Catholic priest, he put on a collar. And from the way we observed him, he brought his car too. And the way we observed him, he was drunk. And I'm sorry to say, from that day on, I started to hate callers. I could not imagine that this is a man of God. He is wearing that collar, and yet he is drunk. What kind of testimony is he giving to these people? To me, that was contradiction. If I am saved, I should be saved from all these worldly things. Have I left Egypt completely? Is there anything that you cannot do without as a believer? Have you left anything? Do you have anything that you feel, well, this is important as far as I'm concerned? If I am regenerated. And let me say this. One thing I believe from this word here. One time I was in America and I heard this pastor say of this church, he said, he stood up and he commented something on the pulpit. He said, if everybody who enters the church is genuinely converted and genuinely saved, the church cannot be going through problems. Finally, I came to know that church, you know, the church had problem. And there was a reason why the pastor said that. Because he had problem with some of his church members and elders. This is what I want to say to you today. If everybody who enters that door is a believer, and I want to say genuinely believer, the church would be heaven on earth. The church would be peaceful. I once sat in a committee where there were wrangles and problems. And I could say, I could see the spirit that was manifested there was devilish. Either I am right or someone is wrong. We cannot all of us be right or be wrong. One must be right or must be wrong. Let us leave Egypt totally. Because that is what God wants. If we have to enter into heaven, I tell you, we have to be pure. We have to be clean. So here, God wants the people to go. And Satan says no. The first one, he says no. You just do it in the land. You know, there are those who are still in the churches, and they have brought their things in the churches. I remember the words of Dr. Tosi Angwa. He said, the church is in the world now, and the world is in the church today. Very true. Very true. You go back to my country, the things which are now being done in the church were never done there before. But now they are taking place in the churches. And they seem to have been sanctified. The question is, by who? There should be a clear distinction between the church and the world. Secondly, Satan tells them, no. Moses said, no, we cannot sacrifice here. We have to go. Because that is what God wants. Total obedience to his word. Now Satan comes again, and the second one, he says, no, 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 you don't need to go. Yes, I allow you to go now, but you don't go very far. First one, he says, no, you sacrifice here. I agree. The second one, he says, no, 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 you go now, but don't go very near. Why? So that he might follow them and he might get them. I was reading a book somewhere, and the author said this. I think the author was a Singaporean. And he said, when you flee the world and you flee Satan, don't leave behind your forwarding address to him. I have left the world. I have left Satan. But I left him my forwarding address. Whenever he needs me, he just takes his mobile phone and he said, yes, Bishop, well, how far are you? I should be distance of miles from Satan. Out of his network. How far are you from him? Are you within his network? So that when he needs you, he just gets his phone. You know, there is something that happens in our country. You know, all the time we hear, the person you are calling cannot be reached. All the time you call somebody you hear, he cannot be reached. You know, that would be right with Satan. If Satan calls me, Bishop cannot be reached. But because we have left behind our forwarding address, whenever he needs me, he gets me. I have not traveled, I have not gone far from him. Go far. So he told them, no, don't go far. Just be near. Be near. Now, Christians need to make a clear break with the world. They either seek to hold a feast to the Lord in Egypt, or they remain as near as to be easily drawn back again. Why do we hear of this? Today I'm a Christian, tomorrow I am not. Now, one thing I believe from the Word of God, once I am saved, I cannot lose my salvation. That is one thing good about my salvation. Once I am saved, I cannot lose my salvation. Once you are saved, you cannot lose your salvation. But guard it. Watch it. Don't let Satan interfere with your salvation here. Go far from him. There must be a full Christ. Listen to this. There must be a full Christ for the heart and a full heart for Christ. Not half-half. Is my heart full of Christ? Because if my heart is full of Christ, Satan will come knocking and he will have no space. Because my heart is filled with him. And if this is so, here lies the grand secret of Christian progress. If my heart is full of Christ, here is where we have the secret of a Christian progress. We must make a proper start before we can get on. We must make a proper start before we can get on. It is Satan's desire to lead professing Christians to rest. Very true. To rest satisfied with looking to the cross for salvation while remaining in the world, occupying worldly positions and doing worldly things. And yet I say Christ is within me. That is something that we tell our people. It is not that you are baptized that will make you to heaven. It is not the name that will take you to heaven. It is not even the church that will take you to heaven. But the thing is, do you have Christ within you? Have you left the world? You know the Bible tells us to separate. As believers, the Bible, in fact, God commands us to be ye separate. Be ye unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6. In other words, separate from the evil. There should be no association. Be ye separate. It's a command from God. And you know what the Bible says so? He says even mark them and avoid them. There is no working together with the unbelievers. I should be one too. I should be a believer. Why should a Christian resign the world? Why should he do that? Because I have found Christ and I have received him in my heart. That is why I should resign the world. If Christ fills the heart, the world is not only driven out, but kept out from the heart. Let me go to third objection. I spoke about the first objection and second objection. The demand was, get out of Egypt. Satan came in, he said no. He said no, Pharaoh said no, you worship and sacrifice here. You know, Moses could have thought, yeah, that's good. Because you have allowed us to worship in our own unique way. But Moses said, no, that is not what God wants. You know, when we come to God's word, God wants total obedience from you and from me. It doesn't matter who I am, but God demands total obedience from us. We have the Decalogue. We have the Ten Commandments. God wants us to obey those commandments that he has given to us. God wants us to obey this word that he has given to us without question. You know, today we are people who say, is really this the word of God? Does really God say this? We should not question. Because this is God's word. And what he says, it is for us to obey. So second objection was, now you can go. Because you just want to go, now you can go. But Moses, please, I don't want you to go far. Now third. 10:11. 10:11 is where we get the third one, I believe. It is this, not so. And I want you to listen to this. Chapter 10, verse 11 is where you get the third objection. Not so, go now. It seems as if Pharaoh is allowing them to go. This is exactly deception. This is exactly what Satan does. You can remain a Christian, not really. You can remain a believer, not really, as you do other things. Cannot. Cannot. Verse 11 of chapter 10, it says, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. For that ye did desire. Moses did not desire that. Moses, when he stood before Pharaoh, said, Pharaoh, we want to go, all of us. Why? Because God wants us to go. You know, all the time, whenever you stand with, thus says the Lord, you will not be blamed for anything. But the moment you leave the truth, and you agree with somebody or something, then you might be blamed for that. But all the time, whenever you stick to this, thus saith the Lord, you are safe and you are secure. So here, Pharaoh says, go serve the Lord your God, but who? Ye that are men. I want you to take note, ye parents, because we are parents here. Maybe I might close with that. Take note, ye who are parents here. Why? Because this concerns you. This objection is affecting us even today. If the devil cannot keep the parents in Egypt, he will try to keep the children. Let me ask a question that I don't want to be answered. In fact, maybe I'm not going to ask a question. Maybe you are here and your children are not here. I just want to thank the Lord for the children I saw. You brought them here to hear the word of God. You know, that is beautiful. But if Satan does not want to keep us in Egypt, he will keep our children in Egypt. Our children are part of us, and God links a man and his house together, thus thou and thine house. One thing I found of Singaporeans is they love their families so much, you also do, and they like their children to follow them. You know, you go back to my country, sometimes you might find, I as a father, I am in the church. My wife is not there. I look at this church, I see almost equal number of women and men. You go to Africa, you find most women in the church. And we keep on asking them, where are your husbands? You have left Egypt, and they are in Egypt. You leave the church, you go home, you find a drunkard husband. Of course, it's not that they do not pray. They pray for them. But Satan has, you know, is really holding them. And we keep on visiting them. We keep on praying for them. Or sometimes you might find a man in the church, the wife is not there. Or the parents are in the church, the children are not there. Somehow Satan is trying to destroy a family. And this is affecting us. We should make sure that we bring our wives, we bring our children in the church. We don't leave them behind because they need to be nourished by the word of God. If you read the book of Luke, and we are not going to read that, and the book of Acts, the book of Luke 19, the book of Acts 15, you see what the Bible says here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, here lies the solid basis of the privilege and responsibility of parents, and we are to begin at the very beginning and go steadily on. God gives us a responsibility as parents to train and to teach our children. And sometimes they get lost as we are trying. Let me tell you one thing. I don't know. You might be here, but maybe one of your child, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, you have tried, and you feel like giving up. Let me tell you the words, I believe they are the words of the words meant for Augustine. These are the words. A son of many prayers is never lost. What do we mean by that? Keep on praying for that husband. Keep on praying for that wife. Keep on praying for that son. Keep on praying for that daughter. In God's timing, he or she will come to the church and will repent. That's all I can tell you to do. Ours is to do our part. We leave the rest to God. As I conclude, my question to you all is this. Have we left Egypt totally? Are we working in close relationship with Egyptian altars, Egyptian temples? Is there any clear distinction? What do people think of me whenever they see me, when they hear me speak? Do they see Christ in me? You know, there are some people who like to just go and tell people, you know, I am saved, I'm a believer. You don't need to do that. The way you walk will tell me that you are a Christian. What did Paul say? Paul said, you are our epistles. I don't need to tell you that I'm a Christian. The way I speak, even the way I dress, I'm not going too far. Even the way I cut my hair will show that I'm a believer. Even the way I eat will show that I'm a believer, a mature believer. There is no point of me telling you, yes, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and yet when I leave the door, I start doing this. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? That is a very important question that needs to be settled right now. If the Lord Jesus Christ comes now, will you go with him or you will be left? May the Lord bless us this morning. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee especially for speaking to us and for giving us thy word. Father, it is thy command that we come out of Egypt, that we leave Egypt totally, and that we serve thee. And Father, we thank thee that we have not strength of our own, because by our own we cannot. But Father, that you have given us thy Holy Spirit to enable us. Father, I commit these people unto thee, that you might enable them and enable us and help us to leave Egypt totally, that we might be people separated for thee, that as we serve thee, we might serve thee with pure hands and pure hearts. Father, I pray that if there might be someone here this morning who has not made up his mind, that this time he might do it, that he might allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart before it is too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.